I am a professional backslider in a lot of areas in life. I have joined several gyms in my lifetime. And who here is currently not subscribed to a gym? Okay, good, good. Now, of you guys, keep your hands up. Now, keep your hand up if you have been subscribed to a gym, but then you gave it up. Okay, some of you are great because you're like, nope, never going to subscribe to a gym, never going to be a part of it. Yeah, good for you. But for the rest of us, we sometimes join a gym. Usually it's right around January 1st. We make a New Year's resolution that we're going to do something different. And so we start off, and usually it's all the same thing. We start off very strong, but then as time goes on, you just kind of slowly fade away. Maybe you miss a day or two. Maybe you're out on vacation and you end up somewhere else. And then maybe after that happens, you realize, wow, I ate a whole sleeve of Girl Scout cookies all on my own, and so I feel terrible. And then that causes you to then not go back to the gym, even though you're like, that's really where I should be. And then you realize it's been so long. Now if I show back up, what's going to happen? People are going to be looking at me like, oh, yeah, finally came back. Yeah, okay, yeah, finally. So you get even more shame, and then you just stop going altogether, right? How about the dentist? Same thing? Yeah, we're supposed to go every 6 months, and then life happens. And the next thing you know, 6 months has passed on. You don't really have the money to be able to go to the dentist. And you're like, man, I really need a cleaning really badly. But then it gets further and further. And then after, you know, 5, 7, 8 years, you're like, well, can I go back? And you're worried. What are you worried about when you go back to the dentist after a long period of time? You know you're going to sit down, and they're going to be like, wow, been a while, hasn't it? And you're just going to feel so embarrassed, and they're going to start scraping your teeth, and you're just going to be like crying, not because it hurts, but because you're so embarrassed at the fact that you have not kept up with your oral hygiene the way that you had wanted. I think the same thing happens too also with our spirituality. I admit, this sermon is not... It's going to be helpful to us in some ways, but I'm also hoping it will be helpful maybe in the future, maybe to some people, because really what I want to do is I want to make sure that the message gets out to people who have stepped away from the faith, like there is a way back. And I think when we talk about backsliding, I feel that it's one of the most challenging things to actually talk about. I know that for pastors, there's some topics within our Christian life that we just kind of stay away from. And I think backsliding is one of them. First of all, we're really worried that maybe you won't be motivated by it. Secondly, we're worried about maybe giving so much amounts of guilt. Maybe you're just visiting back and all of a sudden it's like, oh great, he's going to be talking about backsliding and I've just started coming back to church. Or maybe you've become one that, again, has slowly started drifting away and maybe you haven't come to church as much as you had in the past. And so now you're like, oh, well, now I'm going to feel good. That's not the point of today. The point of today is to help us understand some of the dangers that take place, and hopefully that gives us the motivation to stick around. And more importantly, how do we stay strong? And also, if we do step away, is there a path back? So today, as we go through this, we're going to see Joshua giving some really, really good advice. This is one of those real practical sermons, too, where he just says, do this, do this, do this, and do this. We touched a little bit on it last week when we talked about students heading off to college. Those that go off to college or are separated from us geographically, we're really worried, we're really scared. Like, are you going to stay strong in the faith? This coming September, we're going to be excited because we are going to have a confirmation service for students that were supposed to be confirmed last year, but COVID, and so we're going to have it now this coming up, and we're really excited. But I also think of those people, too. I think that sometimes when you're a youth, the moment you get a driver's license, all of a sudden something changes, and the motivation to be a part of church starts to wane. Sometimes we end up in a circumstance that's maybe really negative. We just got served with divorce papers and we're worried, can I still be a part of church? Will I still be accepted? What will I have to do to make it not about me? And so sometimes because of those things, we step away. And when we step away, we end up losing that ground that we've had throughout our lives. I often wonder about my own life. I am kind of forced to go to church every Sunday. So I'm not the best gauge of this, I really not. I am grateful and thankful that my kids still go to church. Mark Thomas loves church. Mark Thomas threw a fit when COVID hit, and we didn't bring him one Sunday, and he was very upset, so that's a good sign. Thank you to all of you for loving Mark Thomas and him being a part of it. Jacob still goes to church regularly. He's going to be a pastor, so he's going to have to go to church. I'm not worried about him. Joshua is still coming to church. Yay, and I think that the donuts definitely help, so thank you, Harold. But again, through the pandemic, he still comes. So I know that our family is also a little bit different because our kids are still a part of this. And sometimes people ask us, how do we have them still be connected in a regular way? And I don't know if I have all the answers to that, but I at least have some concepts, especially as they come to Joshua 23. Joshua 23 is a different variation of the prodigal son. In the prodigal son, if you remember, the younger son is just, he's done. He wants to step away. He's tired of following his father. He's tired of living under his father's rules. And he will do anything and everything to get out from under them, including wishing his dad was dead, abandoning his home, and then running geographically as far away as possible. But that's not what often happens. I don't see that often in life. I think sometimes it does happen where someone wakes up one morning and says, nope, don't want to do this anymore. I'm out. Get me away from this. I think what often happens, more often happens, is it's a slow fading away. If you find yourself slowly fading away from God, then I think this is a perfect lesson for us to listen to. It will give us some of the pitfalls, some of the consequences, but I believe it also offers a way back. And I think that's really important. Again, hard to preach to you guys because you guys are here. You're actually at church. So you're like, hey, we've been coming to church. This is great. But don't ever think that it can't happen to you, because it does. Joshua 23. As you see, the heading there, Joshua's farewell to the leaders. It's not just to the leaders, because it also talks about how all of Israel gathers. And it really is tied in to Joshua 24, but I decided to separate it because Joshua 23 really, it focuses a little bit more on the perils of backsliding. Well, 24 really talks about what does it mean to renew the covenant. So I think that'll be part of it, but we'll focus on that a little bit more in 2 weeks. Joshua 23, after a long time had passed and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua, by then old and well advanced in years, summoned all Israel their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, I am old and well advanced in years. I just love it when it's stuff like that. This, first of all, tells us how backsliding often starts. I feel that we follow this pattern, especially when you are at rest, when God has given you relief from the issues of life, that is when a lot of people start the slow fade away. I believe that we are never quite as focused on God as when bad stuff is happening and we have no one else to turn to except for God. I have known people throughout my pastoral ministry that make church a regular part of their life when they are in crisis. But then the moment the crisis fades, so does their church attendance. And then ultimately their church membership. So I believe that you should regularly be praying that God messes up your life. I know we don't want to pray that way. I mean, you know, no one's ever excited about stuff like that. But it's funny because I think we actually do in some way. I remember years ago when I studied that it was an old-time worship song, which is probably one of the worst worship songs made because of this exact thing. And it's called Refiner's Fire. Have you remember Refiner's Fire? Purify my heart, let me be as gold, pure gold, purify my heart, let me be as gold, pure gold. Refiner's fire, my heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you. So do you realize that when you pray that, who here wishes to be refined by God in the fire to get away all of your impurities so that you can shine and reflect the image of the Master? I think that if I said, who here wants to reflect the image of the Master? Who here wants to be more like God? I think most of us would be like, yeah, that sounds good. And then I say, and the way God's going to do that, he's going to totally destroy and disturb your existence so that things go poorly in your life so that you learn how to depend on God. Who here wants that? Who here would like to start going through some major, major financial problems that completely and utterly distract you from everything in the world? Anyone? Anyone? No? No? Okay. Who here would like to have some disease hit your family so that you can, you know, learn how to pray more? No. Oh, interesting. Yet, one of the fastest ways that God gets our attention is often through the trouble. I'm always worried when things are going really good. Not in a superstitious way like I've done before. Like, and by the way, the video and the internet has been working beautifully the past two Sundays. Yes. Yeah. And so, but I think of that with my life, that if things are going good, I don't think God is up there saying, wow, things are really going good for Mark. I think I'm just going to destroy his life just for the funsies of it. No, I don't think that happens, does it? But there are times that I believe that if what is going in my life is so good that I start becoming more and more comfortably numb in my life, that I start turning off and turning away from the light and the love of God, then is God going to say, you know what? At least Mark's happy. At least Mark is feeling good about life. Or is he going to say, Mark, I think you're going down a path that I don't think is really that good, and things are going so well, and you don't need me, and you're turning away from me, and you're starting to rely on yourself, and you're not praying as much, and you're not worshiping me as much. What do you think God might then do to my life? He might recalculating. Mark, we need to make a massive left turn up here. And I'm like, no, I know where I am going. Yes, Joshua.
You said that God doesn't just strike people down for no reason when their life's going good, but what about Job?
Yeah. Well, again, because God did not, sorry, let me repeat the question Joshua asked. God does not strike people with affliction for no good reason. and he asked about Job, and I would say that he struck Job for a very good reason, which was to give a lesson to all of us that following God does not mean your life is easy. That I think sometimes we get the misnomer that when I follow God, everything is good, and when I don't follow God, everything is bad. Now, that's kind of a decent axiom to live by, like following God, things are generally going to go good, but it's not a one-for-one correlation. And that one, there was a purpose, a much deeper purpose that was being given that Job was unaware of. And that was to also demonstrate to the devil that people follow after God, not for the material blessings, but because we actually love God. So if your life is not going well right now, man, I'm so excited for you. That is great. I'm going to be praying that things do go well for you. If it's sickness, I pray against the sickness. If it is relational problems, I'm going to be praying for that. But I will also be praying that God use what is going on to bring you back into a closer relationship. So this is one of the things that you find out. How do I know that I might be slipping away? If things are going so well that you don't need God and church is no longer important and you're saying goodbye to your personal family and your church family, you just might be slipping away. Not saying it's one for one, but you should watch that. So he says, I'm old and well advanced in years. Verse 3, you yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. And here is another way to maybe stop the slide. Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that remain, the nations I conquered between the Jordan and the Great Sea in the west. The Lord your God himself will drive them out of your way. He will push them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you. One thing that I think is super helpful is to remember what God has done. Now, this is challenging because if God is disturbing your life, or if things are being disturbed in your life and God is going to use that somehow for good, it's hard to remember the good stuff. But I know I need to regularly do this. By the way, as I told you, I just search and research, and then God has to like slap me around a bunch of times, and then I just tell you how God slapped me around. I think about how I had been very close to God in certain times of my life, often that were very tumultuous. For instance, the launching of Searchlight back in 2001, everything was turned upside down. And let me tell you, I was keenly aware of the presence of God. And I was tethered like that strongly. Heather would say the same thing. Anyone that was a part of it was like, wow, we are really going out on a limb and we are trusting. And I tell you, as I get older, I get more and more risk averse. I get more and more safe. And I think that that's why it's sometimes challenging for us to then get back with God. But we can if we simply just remember. I don't need to go out and replant a church for me to remember all that God has done. When was the last time you dusted off the old photo album or reset up the reel-to-reel or opened up the yearbook that has to do with your relationship with God? I think it's a good time to do it. I think there's great times that we say, this is important, I think we should do this. What has God done in your life that is miraculous? And maybe we need to remember that, because I know sometimes I forget that. Let's keep going, because now he's going to be extremely direct in what he says. Be very strong. I love that because I think sometimes Christians are, and it's a challenge, right? We understand humbleness. We understand that we're not strong in our own right, but you know, as the kids' song goes, we are weak, but He is strong. But I believe that there are times and places where we need to say, I'm going to be strong in this. I believe that there is a place for stubbornness within the Christian church, and that's when it comes to you and your faith. I want you to be the most stubborn. Most of the times people are like, stop your stubbornness. This time I would say, if you have stubborn tendencies, that's fantastic. Be stubborn in your faith. Don't get in the habit of not being strong in that. I know that strength is sometimes looked down upon, but when it comes to being strong in the faith, I would never want that to be a bad thing. Be very strong. And then it says, tie yourself. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. When you say you follow Scripture and you follow God, also follow the stuff you don't like. There's lots, as I've said, there's lots of stuff in here I hate. There's major portions of the Bible I have problems with, but I follow them because that's what the Bible actually says. If you are one who finds yourself regularly ripping out pages so that it matches you, you're going to be creating God in your own image as opposed to letting God make you into His image. So be careful to follow the Word of God, which is, again, one of the reasons why we study Scripture on Sunday mornings, not just in a scattered way, but through chunks of the Bible, because I need to do that. I don't know about you, but I'm sometimes very terrible at studying Scripture on my own. I need a reason to. So I've got to preach a sermon as my excuse. So come along with me, but then find those other times that the Scripture is evaluating your life. And then he gives this final thing that sometimes, this final thing that almost always starts the slide or accelerates the slide away from God. He says, do not associate with those nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. Okay, so what does it mean not to associate with people outside the Christian faith? That does not mean create your own little Christian commune and never associate with people. The idea of associating with people outside the faith is then explained in those other verses. That's the whole point. And the idea is if you end up going somewhere and you start experiencing life outside of your immediate bubble and you start hearing things, you might start to think that you had been sold a bad bill of goods. This is by far one of the things that scares me the most when it comes to people who then step off and go to college. I want you to go to college. I want you to be smart. I want you to be intelligent. You know, there's some good things. I want you to grow up, learn what it means to clean your own toilet, right? These are really important life lessons that I think are valuable. But one thing that always concerns me is when college people leave their church, they head out to their college and they just simply do not find another connection. When they don't find another connection, then it's easy not to be a part of church anymore. And I don't want to hear any more excuses now that we've gone through a pandemic of, I just don't know if I can find anything I like. You literally have every church in America is broadcasting that there's going to be someone that is going to help you out. But the slow fade is nearly predictable. A college student has maybe grown up in the church. They've gone through confirmation. They've helped out in their church through VBS. And now it's time to go to college. And so maybe they move away. And when they move away, it starts on that first Sunday. The first Sunday you are away from your home, that is the time to get to church. Be strong. Do not say, I think this is the perfect time for me to start exploring a bunch of other faiths and seeing if what I believe is correct. I think there's a time that we all go through that, and I think it's important, but let me tell you, that is not the time to do it. Do not start thinking that you can just engage in other activities from other faiths and not somehow be affected by it. The number one way this happens is when people start to engage in evangelism by dating. Have you ever done that? That's when there's someone, oh, wow, that's, wow, she's pretty. Woo! Yeah, she is. She's wonderful. Wow, man, that'd be fantastic. So you go up and you introduce yourself and you start hitting up, wait, and they like all the same things you like, and you start to, and you, the conversation is real simple, but you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait until you've finally gotten a little bit further involved with them, and then you come up with the finally important question: what do you believe? What is your faith system? And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, well, I actually have none. I don't believe in Jesus, God, organized religion, or the church. And you're like, oh. And now you're at a crossroads. What do? Because she's really beautiful, and she makes me feel all googie inside, and I don't know if I should. And so you come up with some rational thought. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to date her, and I'm going to introduce her to Jesus. That is not good. Does it happen? Yes. Has it been successful in the past? Absolutely. I have seen it happen, and I have seen it work. But please, as according to Scripture, don't start doing that. That's really not a good way to actually live your life. Instead, stay close to God. Follow Him. Do not associate, meaning do not get so entangled with someone of another faith that it starts drawing you further and further away from Him. Be strong. Our kids, I know, they get it all the time. There was a time Heather and I were at a winery, and we were chit-chatting with this young lady. Yeah. Heather just said, oh, she was so cute. And we're talking to her, and sure enough, she's about the same age as Jacob. And so we're like, oh, this will be perfect. Let's hook Jacob up. And she works at this winery, and we could maybe get a discount at the winery. Like, this might be kind of cool. And yeah, she lives in San Diego, but that's not that far of a drive. We could probably work this out. And so we start talking to her, and finally, this is no joke, because this is going to be one of the first questions. And again, anyone going off to college, the moment you start dating someone, Heather will ask you the very important question. What do they believe about Jesus? Do they love Jesus? So sure enough, as Heather's prodding more and more, she finally asked the girl, do you believe in Jesus? And the girl was kind of like, huh. And she said, well, I'm going to be honest. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't think church is good or healthy. I believe we should all be very spiritual and loving towards one another. But when it comes to Jesus, I just really don't think that that's good. And it was so funny because all of a sudden Heather just changes, like a boom. Yeah, she's like, oh, yeah, can I go ahead and try the Chardonnay now, please? Because that's one of Heather's things, and that's one of my things, that make sure that when you are engaging in other people, especially if you're looking in that dating pool, that is an important thing. No, she didn't turn into a jerk. Like, well, you're a heathen and you're going to hell, so you might as well give me some more wine. We were very nice to her. I'm sorry if I made that sound bad. But it was true, because at one point she said, so about your son? And you're like, I don't think that's going to work out. And I think it was very nice because she said, well, he's got to be a pastor. And she's like, Yeah, so all of a sudden she was, immediately turned off as well, so. She was showing pictures. I sure hope Jacob's not watching. Are you watching, Jacob? Oh, hopefully he's not.
I'm sorry.
We're going to move on.
Verse 9.
He's going to ruin. Thank you. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised to be very careful to love the Lord your God. That's where it comes down to. Follow God. Be strong. Stay close to his word. Stay connected to him. Don't be pulled away. Don't let the slow fade get you, because ultimately there are consequences. And they're painful. This is one of the hardest things that Heather and I see when we do ministry. Is we sometimes watch youth who are very, very vibrant in their faith step away and just slowly fade away. And it doesn't have to be youth, because we've seen it with others as well. That they were very, very strong. And if you would have said to yourself, this person is going to someday slip away, you would just think, no, you're crazy. That would never, ever happen. But Heather and I have watched it too many times. And it's hard. Heather and I have tried to make it a goal of ours that when we especially talk with people that have maybe stepped away and are fading away, that it is not about guilt. But we also know that there is some stuff sometimes does not go quite as well in your life, because this is what verse 12 says. But if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your backs and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Why is God being so harsh at this point? Newsflash, God knows the future. The book that immediately follows the book of Joshua is the book of Judges. And what is the book of Judges all about? It's about how the nation of Israel kept getting entwined with other nations to the point that they ended up in this incredible cycle of sin. Things would fall apart. There would be this oppressor. They would come in. They'd be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. God, we turned away from you. I am so sorry. Please forgive us and help us out. And so God sends a deliverer, a judge, and the judge comes in and takes care of the foreign oppressor. People come back to God, and then they get rest from their enemy. And then guess what happens again? They forget about God. They slowly drift away. They get entwined with the other nations so much so that they fall away. And the cycle repeats. Lather, rinse, repeat. And God is saying, you are not going to enjoy this. The best way is to just simply not fall away. Don't do it. Because things will go poorly. And as it's described, whips on your backs and thorns in your eyes. Does that sound terrible? That sounds terrible, doesn't it? But I think that's also the way back, isn't it? Because someone was willing to have his back whipped. He was willing to have thorns in his eyes. He was willing to take the punishment for our backsliding. Not so that he looks at you and says, look at all that I'm doing for you. Do you feel guilty about your life? No, he says this to say, I love you and I want you back. God wants you back. I still get emails from them twice a month. LA Fitness. And the heading is always the same. Mark, we want you back. I sometimes feel really honored. Like, they're thinking of me. This is amazing. And then I realize how many of those emails get turned down. Do they really want me back? Is there someone at LA Fitness that's just sitting there going, man, I wish that Mark Manning guy would come back to our gym? The answer is no. There's no person wanting me back at LA Fitness. It's just a corporation. It's just an email. It's just Massey sent out. There is someone who wants you back, though. There is someone who says, I love you so much, I'll do whatever it takes to get you back. I'll sacrifice my own son because you are that important to me. And you might say, but man, I just hate it when people say, I can't go back. It's been too long. I can't go back. I'm worried I'm going to walk in the door and like there's going to be this earthquake and the roof's going to fall in on me. You know what I always say to them? I always say, that earthquake is not because you come in with all your sin. That earthquake is that's just God really excited that you're back in his house. There's always a path back. God wants you back. And I think it's important that if you happen to be listening to this message, that you maybe had backslidden, maybe you are seeing the signs of backsliding and you're wondering, maybe I need to rethink some things. God's happy about that. God wants you back. And I want you back. And God will do anything to have that relationship with you again. And one of the challenges is then when the leaders of our faith sometimes no longer are there. Maybe there was a pastor we grew up with that was really important in our life and is no longer. Maybe the pastor died, or maybe you had a parent who was really strong in the faith, but they passed away. And I think this is what Joshua is trying to help them out, because he's telling them in verse 14, I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all of your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. God has never promised that your life is going to be easy spiritually. God never promised that you are always going to have that same connection with that same spiritual person. Sometimes that change, that's what Josh is saying. I am about to die. And his thing is, please stay close to God. In verse 15, but just as every good promise of the Lord your God has come true, so the Lord will bring on you all the evil he has threatened until he has destroyed you from this good land he has given you. If you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land he has given you. Isn't that a great way to end the chapter? Amen, go in peace. Joshua is really trying to help them out. I don't know if Joshua got a chance to see a glimpse into the future that the book of Judges is happening. All I can tell you is this. I know it for a fact. You have problems coming. There are going to be bad things you are going to experience in your life. And when those bad things happen, sometimes it causes us to drift away. And all I am is I'm just begging you with all of my heart, please don't. I know that when bad things happen, one of the very first things that gets jettisoned in our life is being a part of a church community. There is embarrassment, there's problems, there's worries about myself. Let me tell you, if you are a horrible, nasty sinner, I am thankful you are here. In fact, I really do ask of it, please, no perfect people allowed at Searchlight. I can't handle your smugness. I can't handle your self-righteousness. I want people who are struggling in life to say, yeah, I struggle in life and I need to be a part of a church. And if I have ever in any way given some concept to you that my life is all together, I can guarantee you without a shadow of a doubt it is not. And if you think that the people around you have their life together, I can guarantee you without a shadow of a doubt, they are not. Yeah, go ahead, look around right now. Look at all the messed up people in this room. It warms my heart because you're here, and that's important. And God is thankful that you are here. Don't slip away. Please because God will do anything for you. Let's pray. Lord, it is a challenge in this world. Thank you, Lord, that I'm a pastor, because I'm kind of forced to keep coming to church. But I know that there are times that I can feel that pull away. I can feel that there are times that I do not really stay that close. There are so many times that I just do not have that in me. I get tired. Lord, I confess that sometimes I don't even want to come to church because things are so hard. But Lord, you didn't ask us to come to church when things were easy. You didn't ask us to be a part of a fellowship just because life is good. But when everything is going wrong, that's when we need to be closest to you. And may we never, ever lose sight of that. And thank you, Lord, that you are not like some guilting dentist disgusted at the plaque buildup of our teeth. You look at our nasty, disgusting lives and you say, I love you. Let's get to work on this and we'll do this together. And thank you, Lord, when I stray, your love is always there. Even if we stray quickly, like the prodigal son, you're standing on the porch, looking out, hoping and praying for our return. Lord, some of us are lost and confused, and we need a little help. So give us that goal of coming back. And may we never let anything get in the way of our relationship with you. May college never get in that way. May our negative circumstances never get in that way. May the divorce of our parents not get in that way. May sickness not get in that way. May Sunday morning sports not get in that way. May our own shame and guilt not get in that way. But may we come back again and hear how much you love us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. For our time of communion,